People got mad at us about talking about Zach Bagans.
People made fun of Bagans all the time in the group for the museum.
We were right.
Yes, we were.
I stand my ground.
I do too, but it was scary, kind of. Hello, welcome to Guides the Unknown. I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
And this week we are going to talk about the Eastern State Penitentiary, a very scary jail found in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
And a very famous one.
Yes.
This is like a fairly notorious haunted location.
Yeah.
It's got a dark history, and it's got a really, quite frankly, a pretty awesome looking Halloween event.
Have you ever been to it?
No.
Okay, I have.
I thought so.
Yeah, and I hate haunted houses. This might be the last haunted house I went to, actually, potentially.
Yeah?
Maybe. It's very possible.
You know, I heard somebody, I don't remember where I was listening to something. You know, a lot of podcasts right now are doing scary stuff, mm-hmm. and they were talking about how sometimes a haunted house, or like Halloween Horror Nights in Universal.
Yep.
Can be overstimulating.
Yeah.
And I heard the word overstimulating and related to it more than I ever thought I would.
Let me just tell you, the amount that we talk about overstimulation in therapy.
Really?
I'm very easily overstimulated.
Oh boy. Yeah. We went to Universal Horror Nights, like a decade ago.
Yeah.
And I couldn't handle myself. I couldn't bear like everybody being in such close proximity and like touching you, and then anyone might run up to you.
I hate that when you hit those. Basically, you could walk on your own and then you would hit these zones that are completely unavoidable, but they are kind of marked where the characters can come up in your face and stuff. And whenever we got to those zones, Will and I were like, oh God, here we go. Because it's all bets are off.
Yeah, it was a nightmare.
But yeah, I mean, I used to go to haunted houses, you know, I don't know if every year, but like if somebody asked me to go to a haunted house, I was like, hell yeah, because I knew I'd like scary stuff. So it just seemed in keeping. And I just never even questioned it. I like autopiloted it until like I got a little bit older. And then I was like, what am I doing to myself? I actually don't like this.
I always regret this.
That might have been Eastern State. It is neat, though. So like set the kind of stage for like what it looks like and kind of the format of it. I'll just explain the haunted house a teeny bit. It's set up like an asterisk almost.
Like the shape of the jail itself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's like a center like hub and then like spokes coming off of it basically. And so it's like a weird place. You don't hit every single, you know, spokey thing during doing the haunted house, but it is set up differently than a haunted house where you're able to like, I don't know, turn a corner, whatever, because it's all just straight and they just kind of find ways to move you through different sections.
I have a lot of information on the modern horror experience.
Oh, okay, great. I'll just say, I don't remember it super well. I do remember thinking that, like, there were some parts of it that weren't, like, insanely scary and were just kind of cool looking.
Sure.
And also something that they do that I thought was really creative, which I guess you can say is a spoiler alert for Eastern State Penitentiary, like, actual haunt experience. I bet they still do it. Is that when you're waiting outside online, did you come across this, which is pretty long?
No.
There were people who had, like, fake grass all over their backs, so you don't know that anybody is there.
No way.
And then all of a sudden the grass on the side of you like comes up.
That sucks. That sucks.
No, it was pretty cool. I guess I was far enough away that it wasn't like, I don't think I got by that. I remember seeing it though and being like, whoa, I've never thought of or seen anything like that.
Yeah, it's literally like guerrilla warfare or something.
Yes. Yeah, because they're basically in like camouflage and they had
wearing a ghillie suit laid out on the ground. This is where like I'm such a schemer.
Yeah.
I just think like if I worked there,
right,
I would just stay in the grass and lie down.
Me too.
You know what I mean? Just be like,
Will.
Be like, yeah, I scared people.
Yeah.
Of course I did.
You just didn't see me.
Of course I popped up and scared people.
If the way I acted at every like like retail or whatever job like that I've had is any indication, I would definitely do that too.
You find a place where nobody even knows that you're quietly sitting.
Yeah, totally. Still. A lengthy bathroom break.
Sitting still, not moving.
As little as possible all times, pretty much. So how do you want to do this? Should I go first?
I want to hear the history. Okay. I want to hear the real life stuff.
Okay. So I'm going to tell you all of the real life stuff by way of the MTV show Fear.
Oh, good.
because they do address the history of it, because they got to tell these kids and get mm-hmm. them freaked out. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I decided to just go into that for my information.
It sounds to me like you found the take a long bathroom break version of doing this show. If I may William, be so William, bold as to observe what you've done.
William, if it's all spelled out for me within fear, am I going to go clicking around elsewhere? It seems like there's no need.
Why bother reading up about it online at all if they're going to say a little bit on MTV's Fear that that's just as good? That's why should correct. I wash my feet when they're in the soapy water?
That's correct.
Right.
That's exactly
You know what?
Yeah.
I respect it.
Thank you. So, in case anybody doesn't know what MTV Fear is, this was a reality show in like 2001 to 2003, I believe, where they had a team of six people go to different locations and investigate them. And basically everybody on the team who was left at the end of 2 days, it's always a two-night extravaganza, gets to split a big pot of money.
People leave?
Yes. They'll be like, I'm out. This is too scary. I don't want to do any of this stuff. Because there are dares that you
have
to do.
Oh, they're like challenges.
And the dares suck.
Well, that's not that surprising that they would suck.
No, it's not. Yeah. But I can understand why some people would be like, I'm out. Because even if I... So, like, with the dares, there's a format to doing these things. So it's like, it's six people, and you'll do these different things in teams of three. So one person stays behind to be the navigator, but they're going to get theirs later, obviously. And then there's kind of like the main person and the safety in case the main person is like, I can't do this, basically.
Okay. All right.
So yeah, it happened where the main person was like, I cannot. And then the safety steps in and they leave.
Wow. I think I forgot that that's the format. I guess I just thought that it was... People go into a spooky place at night,
right?
And madness ensues, and maybe somebody is dressed like a monster in there or something. But there's like a game show,
yeah.
Here, it's like you got to do a fear factor thing while you're in there. Okay, all right.
Yep. If you want to hear more about it, we talked about fear in episode 76.
Yes.
Well, I did it.
Of course I remember.
It was, of course, classic episode Gray Aliens and MTV's Fear.
When we used to do sensible,
yeah,
understandably diverse episodes all in one.
Right. So I covered it, and I had found an article that was about, it was like an oral history of Fear that was about a lot of behind the scenes stuff.
I remember that, yeah.
It was very cool. So I recommend checking that out just because it was neat. But for this, I watched just the Eastern State Penitentiary episode and did nothing else.
Well done.
Thank you. So the episode opens, and on screen, we will have six people have been sent to a place they've never been to before to determine if it is haunted. They record their own experience. There is no crew. They are alone. Little bit Blair Witchy.
Yeah.
It's white text on a black screen. It could just be my bias, I guess you would say, but it also came out, you know, a handful of years after Blair Witch. And actually, if I remember correctly, I think in that episode 76, I think they were inspired by Blair
Witch. Yes, I remember talking about mm-hmm. that, which makes a lot of sense, right? Like, give the people their own cameras, get what you get.
Right.
It's pretty cool. It's a way to heighten fear for sure.
Definitely.
Right? Like, if you're with an entire crew. Exactly.
They had these things they called the clam cam, where it somehow, I don't remember exactly now, but it basically... I think it was something on their shoulders that stuck a camera out in front of them. So you're getting this like very in their face view of what's going on. And then I guess maybe the safety had like something pointing outward.
A little nauseating. It's like a jigsaw trap.
No,
rig this camera around their head.
It definitely is. Some of these things felt a little bit jigsaw-y.
Yeah.
And like I said, I will be getting to the history within the episode. But just to kind of set the scene, there introducing you to the people who are going to be doing this, and it really dated itself because there was a one time at band camp joke while they were introducing people. I think it was this guy talking about getting how he gets scared all different places, and he was like, this one time at band camp, and I was like, oh my god,
wow.
That's a reference from the movie American Pie, which came out probably in the year 2000 or something.
What a throwback.
I know.
1999.
Thank you. Why do you know that?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Oh, you know what? There's that book. I don't know if you've read it. It's like about movies of 1999, and American Pie is in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Then the same guy later says, I'm going to get my supernatural groove on after this break.
He says that?
Yeah. A star.
And he's just a guy.
A star is born. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Good. He's great.
So the way that it works, because they don't have a crew or other people, is that they gather in kind of, all these contestants gather in kind of like a nerve center nearby the prison, if not actually in it. I know that they, when they go into the prison, they're going outside. So it's at least somewhat separated. And there's a computer with a website that gives them instructions on what to do.
Oh, so there's not even like a host.
No.
That's cool.
No, these people really are by themselves.
That's pretty cool. I could imagine seeing a modern revival of this.
Oh, I would love that. Right? Yeah. I bet we couldn't because of liability and insurance and stuff.
I'm sure there are ways to solve a lot of those issues.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. That's true. The prison was built in 1829 in Philly, as we said, and it's infamous for its prisoner rehabilitation, quote unquote, techniques of sensory deprivation and solitary confinement for the prisoners. And unsurprisingly, that led to extreme mental health crises and tons of suicides.
Yeah.
So it was just like very cruel and unusual. It was almost like an experiment. Like they were like trying something new, because that format of prison that we described before, that kind of like asterisk format, is not usual by any stretch. They wanted to isolate people from each other as much as they possibly could. So think about it, if some of those spokes are kind of like diagonal from each other, you're not even like hearing those prisoners. No. You're hearing people, I guess, who are like next to you on the row, but everyone is in solitary.
It's torment.
It's inhumane.
If I remember,
obviously some of the people in there did horrific things, yeah. But just theoretically, on a high level view, it's not right.
Well, it's the kind of thing that it raises the question of like, what is the point of prison? Mm-hmm. A little bit, right? Like, one is the obviously, could it be rehabilitation?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it dangling the threat of punishment for people who might commit crimes?
Mm-hmm.
And is it just like, well, you're removed from society? Or is it punishment, 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 punishment?
I think at this place, from what I understand, it's the last two. It's like you're removed from society and punishment, punishment, with kind of a thin veneer of rehabilitation. Because
yeah.
Apparently, like some of the kind of torturous methods they used, they say were ways that were going to train them essentially to be better.
If we isolate you,
right,
and you're, you know, we censor,
like, think about what you did.
Yeah, and we deprive you of all contact with other people.
Mm-hmm.
You will attain, you know, a higher state of being.
Right. And no, not at all.
No, you'll go quite mad.
Yeah, it's, and people do, they still do use solitary.
Sure.
But these people lived in 24/7 solitary.
Yeah.
And or not quite 24/7, I should say, because they would be let out for some meals and stuff. They didn't have like yard time or any of the things we see in like a lot of prison TV shows. There was no recreation, but I guess maybe showering and meals, I think, basically. They would come out and get stuff.
Yeah.
And so there were opportunities for violence, because then you're seeing people. And in fear, they have little interstitial interviews with an inmate who was there. It's like an old dude. And he said that one time, I don't think he says they as in he was doing it. Maybe he did, I don't know what. But he said basically that one time a prison guard was beaten so badly there that to take him to get care, they had to put him in a wheelbarrow and like wheel him over to wherever, because he just could not move. And it's not like they had like a stretcher on hand or anything.
Ugh.
And he repeatedly says the phrase, like, when he's describing conditions, he's like, yeah, we didn't have any recreation or anything. Just doing hard time. He says, it's just doing hard time, like a few times. And it's just like very hard time.
Just existing.
Pretty much. So the guards, in turn, in reaction to people like either attacking each other, prisoner on prisoner violence, or prisoner on guard violence, came up with these unique and sadistic, really like crazy messed up ways to restrain the prisoners, which we will partially get to as I'm telling you the things, because spoiler alert, the dares are to put yourself into these horrible contraptions that I guess the guards and whoever else came up with.
Do you think that this is real?
Them putting themselves in
these contraptions, like were prisoners put into these things? Did that?
I think so. Yeah,
that came
yeah.
off to you like a real history thing.
Yeah,
because I've heard that.
I will
that,
admit,
like,
for this, I only watched Fear, but I have looked into this place before. Like yeah. after I did the.
I know for a fact.
Yeah.
on our spinoff Ghost Adventures Adventures, we watched the episode where Zach Bagans and his crew went to the Eastern State Penitentiary. It's presently it's episode 110 on the Netherworld Dispatch, which you get to through our Patreon.
Yep. No, I've looked into it before, I guess, just because I like weird things. No, my understanding is that, yes, these are real things that that happened.
I only say that because I know that, like, and maybe this would be worth looking at sometime, but, like, when you think of, like, medieval torture devices, which each have their own, like, kind of character of, like, the rack or this crazy thing you put on your head and it poked you in the ears. Like, I've heard that some of those things were just never real, but rather kind of concocted for the purposes of grim entertainment.
Yeah, yeah.
So it would not, I wouldn't necessarily put it past a show like MTV's Fear to be like, this is a thing they did here. Now you must do it. But it's totally made up for their entertainment show.
Definitely. Well, now I'm not sure. But I thought that they were real.
Just sowing seeds of doubt in your head.
Like, you can go do a day tour that's not, like, the haunted house thing of the Eastern State Penitentiary, and you can get, like, a little, you can tune into Steve Buscemi, like, taking you through and, like, telling you stuff. I wonder if Steve Buscemi is talking about things like the Tranquility Chair. I think perhaps.
Talk to me about the Tranquility Chair.
I will in just a moment. So they came up with things like an iron gag. They did water torture on the prisoners. They used straitjackets. And during all this, they keep showing reaction shots of the contestants because it seems like they are watching this on a TV, like learning the history of the place that they're about to go into and get freaked out. And they keep showing this one guy gulping like every time they're showing something scary. And that guy gets put in a very scary situation later. And I was like, oh boy, this poor bastard.
Like Goofy.
Yeah.
Gosh.
They also have talking heads from like psychics and mediums, and then also like paranormal investigators and like local authors and things like that. And there was a psychic who said upon walking into the place, it's like walking into a coma, like a black hole. Walking into a coma.
That's weird.
I know. And then another one said, there's such a sense of hostility in this building, the anger, the violence, it's still here within these walls. And I was like, it's big Bagans energy.
Although a little bit
too well stated.
Yes, it almost sounded like Morticia for a second. Yeah. Start the line over and think about Morticia Adams.
There's such a sense of hostility in this building. The anger, the violence.
I love it here
within these walls. Yeah, like
right. Getting,
like,
she would have to be like the anger, the violence, home. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, definitely. So like I said, they kind of split up, and the first dare that we see is in cell block one, which had something called tranquility chair, where inmates would be tied incredibly tightly, cutting off circulation almost to the point of death. Like they were just completely tied in. So the dare here is to sit strapped into the chair and then go into radio silence for basically however long they want. They don't say for an hour, whatever. You just have to wait there and find out how long it is. So the person who's doing this is named Irina. And like, it's not just straps like on your arms and legs. It's across your face.
Oh.
So it, and by the way, this is all in like night vision. So you can't really get a sense of color or anything, but it looked like these like kind of thick, but flat, grimy ass old straps. And her backup person is the one who tied her in and didn't tie her very tightly around the face, but she has just this stuff in front of her face. It probably smelled so bad. So like they just say that that she's gonna be strapped in until further notice from the website. And then throughout the show, they give a status update on her at 45 minutes in, and then another one at an hour and a half.
Okay.
And at that point, they let her out.
Wow.
That's crazy. It's just in the dark. So you're just in a dark thing, strapped in, radio silence. Oh, no thanks.
And the whole point of not knowing for how long, that's where it starts to play on your mind. Where you're like, I bet they're going to let me out any minute now. And then it's quiet. And since you're strapped, you're like, I don't even know how much time just passed.
William, somebody does something for 18 hours. They're told that they have to do this thing all day. I guess if I were to think about it, I would think that that means 12 hours, maybe sun up to sun down kind of thing. 18 hours.
I would have said, what is it? What do they have to do?
I'll zoom to that real quick. They have to, be in a cell. Let me see.
They have to sit in.
Yes.
Like a solitary confinement type
thing? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, they're told that this is the most haunted location in the prison, cell block 12. And the first person who's supposed to do this, they refuse. And they say, oh God, absolutely not. I'm not doing this. And this guy, Sharif, does it instead. He's the safety, so he's the backup. And this guy seemed very, like, as you would be, anxious, like even going to the location, because you're in the let's call it the nerve center for a while, and then they'll say, okay, now it's Sharif's turn, you go out, and like,
god damn,
doing when, and you have the navigator telling you, okay, turn left, turn right, and you're in the dark.
Yeah.
So during that, the navigator would be like, okay, did you turn left? And he was like, yeah, we did. Like, he was getting all like, not pissy, but he was just so anxious. He was being kind of like, for lack of a better term to explain it, like rude. He was being kind of short with the guy, but it's because he was completely freaked out. But Sharif says, okay, like, I'll do it. And so the girl who refused goes back to the control center and says that she's never felt that kind of force in her life in this building, and that's why she just had to stop it. And then they talk about cell block 12 in particular and like why it's so bad. And they say that people felt like rushes of air coming from nowhere down the hallways near it and into the cells.
Who did that?
That's a good question.
It's all just one long corridor. I heard you can make a mess at one end of the hall and the air will billow all the way to the other.
Down.
You don't want to know why we call this place Mess Hall.
Well, guess what? People have also seen misty formations.
Let me put it this way. It doesn't have anything to do with the chow.
The chow. Oh, God, that's so funny. And so during this, they go back to the former inmate, and he gives just kind of like a little blurb about what solitary is like and says that he would sometimes hear music or hear people talking, but then he would look outside his cell and it was just pitch black and no one was there and there's no real music there. He's just like, he said the walls were just closing in on you, just doing hard time.
What kind of music, you think?
I don't know.
Right?
Classical.
Find nothing but faith in nothing, one from a tender heart in a blender.
That would be so comforting.
And then Eve.
They're playing Eve 6.
Yeah, Eve 6, and that they weren't even a band yet.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
This place really is at some sort of nexus of time.
Outside time. This is crazy. It's a beautiful day. Don't let it get away.
I really dislike that song. That would drive me slowly mad if they were piping that into solitary.
I have a story about that song. I can't tell you on the show.
Okay. Tell me later.
I'll tell you later.
Okay. So Sharif stays in there for 18 hours. And then when a teammate goes back to get him, he's not even talking when they're asking him questions. It's kind of messed up. Like, they'd be like, oh man, it's probably really scary, right? And he's just like not talking. And then they get outside, and then he's finally like, first they do a very weird thing. So he's not answering the teammate. And then the person who is the navigator back in their center is saying, all right, guys, come in, you'll go this way. And they're like, guys, because nobody's answering. And then MTV cuts to a bunch of clips of the security cameras, like the overhead that catch them doing things, of just the totally empty building. Yeah. So it's like Sharif and teammate guy have completely disappeared.
Oh.
And I was like, ooh, what kind of like yarn are they weaving here? And they completely abandon it. They do nothing with it. They come back from commercial and they just show the two guys walking outside the building to get back to the control center.
That's just cheap. Cheap post-production tactic to make sure people stick around after the commercial.
100%.
That's it.
It's shocking to me that you wouldn't even...
It's that bald, yeah.
You know, just do button it up with something.
Have them be like, sorry, I was in the John. Yeah. Like, you gotta have some explanation, otherwise it just feels really grubby.
Yeah, I was very surprised. And finally, when they get outside, Sharif is like, man, I entered that room as a regular person and I came out as a believer. There's definitely something going on in there. Like, none of this is my deal, but that was so, so weird.
So do you think he was not talking when he was in there because he was sort of wigging out?
Yeah, I think he was kind of like processing being out again after 18 hours.
Yeah.
That's a really long time.
That is really crazy.
I think he just was like readjusting to maybe being with somebody and just, I don't know, activity all of a sudden, you know, and just kind of gathering your bearings. Because I don't think they were walking forever with him silent. Yeah. It was probably just a few minutes.
Like, Eastern State is, you know, it's abandoned, mm-hmm. sort of, right? I mean, like,
it's not an active prison anymore. They
and it's like crumbling and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, like, to what extent do you feel comfortable just because you're doing a show there? Like, right. Do you really believe that MTV's fear ran every possible safety check on stuff? Like, I still wouldn't be totally comfortable going in here. There's no way that they've got this entire place on lockdown enough that it's like, we know that none of the walls will crumble around you if you lean on them the wrong way.
Absolutely not, especially from reading that oral history that's in, again, episode 76. It was extremely unsafe and unregulated. Like, this was a really weird show.
Yeah. Yeah, it's freaky deaky. And 18 hours is like, it's almost obscene. Like, that is a crazy thing.
I was pretty shocked.
That's a crazy 18. Thing to put somebody through. Unless it's not true.
Of course. I know, I thought that too. But I don't know. I think it is. I don't know. There are just so many other people there and everything. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. it seems... I don't know. I think it is.
Yeah. Okay.
So speaking of unregulated, unsafe, whatever, the dare that I was getting to in cell block 12 is with this dude, Mark. Mark is the guy who I said that they kept cutting to when they were showing the history of the building.
Yeah.
Who they just kept seeing go like, gulp. Okay. They have him put on the iron gag, which it's explained was used if a prisoner mouthed off. So it was almost like washing your mouth out with soap in a way. You know what I mean? It's like specific to, it's a punishment that they made to fit the crime. So if like a prisoner was like being an asshole or something, like verbally, they did the iron gag.
Hey, warden, a sphincter says what?
All right, enough with you. To the iron gag room. So an iron bit, of course, went in their mouth, and then there were these straps attached to it that went around to tie your hands in the back, upward, behind your back. And if you squirmed and wiggled, those pulled on the bit in your mouth, making it even more uncomfortable.
Weird.
And this guy has to put it on and put it in his mouth. Now, this part, this can't be.
It's not the original replica
or something. It just can't be. But even still, I wouldn't be expecting to put something in my mouth if I was going to something like this.
I'm assuming it's a reasonably new, reasonably clean appliance.
It has to be. Yeah. But I still be like, I have to put it in my mouth? Yeah. Like, ew. And this one is not for long, maybe because it's mouth, because that's so weird and gross. They don't even give status reports like they did with Irina at like 45 and an hour and a half. Somebody comes to take it off of him after an indeterminate amount of time, but I think they'd be making a big deal out of it if it was like forever. But he still has to stay alone in the room for a while.
Okay.
And then when he's allowed out on the way back, that's when he gets Irina out of that tranquility chair.
Okay.
And she's allowed to go. And at this point I was like, you know, it's kind of weird. The show is called Fear. Nobody seems super scared or anything. It's really just kind of like, ugh, I have to do this.
Yeah. MTV's uncomfortability.
Pretty much, yeah. It's a little bit low on the screaming and stuff, but again, like, you know, that's all right. So I went a little bit out of order here. Let me just find.
Yeah, I want to know about the tranquility chair.
That no, I already told you about the tranquility chair, didn't I?
Did you?
What she got strapped into and had the gross stuff on her face.
Oh, that was the face thing.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's nothing tranquil about that.
No, it's trying to make you tranquil because you're stuck in one place.
Okay.
It's really messed up. Another dare, which is fun, and it's another thing that somebody, the first one who's supposed to do it, ditched out on, is to go to a cell block and try to use auto writing to contact the spirits there. And they said that this block housed the most infamous prisoner there, but no, that's Al Capone, so I don't know what they're talking about. This is just a random dude who, if anybody messed with him, he would cut their throat.
That is a pretty bad guy.
It is definitely a bad guy, but Al Capone's definitely the most infamous.
So all they had to do is go into this room and try to pretend to write ghost stuff?
Yes,
they got off light.
They kind of did, but there are a bunch of rats in there.
Oh, okay.
And but just organically in the prison. There's like just rats in this place.
Yeah.
And the first person who's supposed to go in there, she's like freaked out about the rats. And then something falls on her head.
Ah!
And she's like, nope, I'm out. And she's the one who just goes straight home.
Oh.
She's like, I'm absolutely done. And so then a different guy named Ricky goes in. And he starts to do, or no, he goes in, he's going to do it. And the navigator explains that auto writing is letting the spirit use your body to communicate a message and tells the guy to use his non-dominant hand and repeat the following invocation before going into the auto writing question. So he has to say out loud, I sense a presence in the room that wishes to come forward. I invoke thee to make your presence known. Use my body as a vehicle with which to communicate.
Cool.
Then he asks questions and then just like, you're just supposed to like basically let your hand move of essentially its own accord and see what happens. So he says, are you alone? And he gets the answer, no. He says, are you angry we're here? And he gets, I need help. And then he gets, what's it like to be dead? And they don't say the answer, which is annoying. They just like cut to something else, I guess.
That's weird.
It is weird.
So wait, his hand wrote out these things?
Yes.
Hmm.
Well, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's.
Did it look like when like a baby
signs?
They
don't even show it.
When like a baby signs like a birthday card?
Probably. They don't even show it. Okay. They just tell. He'll ask the question and then he's just kind of like, you can see his hand sort of going and then he'll be like, no. Huh. Okay. Are you angry we're here? Or
this
whatever.
This is bull.
It's bull. So he also has to stay in there for a little while even after that just to kind of get freaked out.
MTV's bull.
And then they tell him he can get out, but there's no, he tries to go and there's no latch to leave on the inside. And so they
That's
say,
funny.
Oh, we can't come get you because we have to monitor Sharif. It's clearly just to get TV and get him freaked out. Mm-hmm. So he starts like kicking the door and freaking out. And then they're like, okay, we're sending somebody to get you. And then they
That's great.
Get him out.
That's great.
The final dare is that the final dare when all the teammates are back together is that they are told that they have to go all together to the isolation chamber, which they need to find themselves by map. And once they're there, they're told they'll find a body bag that one of them has to open. And when they do, it's the money they get to split.
Cool.
Hell yeah, they made it.
Money in a body bag. That's pretty cool.
Totally.
I like that.
Yep.
So that's a very successful ending. How many? One walked away, two?
Yep, I think one.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So
I don't think they said how much the kitty was.
Yeah, this is weird. That's actually not a good thing.
What?
You want your fellow contestants to get so scared they walk so that your cut gets bigger.
Yes. Yes.
Interesting. Uh-huh. Okay, so smaller shares.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. MTV's Fear, huh? What'd you think?
It was fun.
It was fun? You liked it?
Yeah, it was fun. I realized I did a real... I didn't talk about Al Capone as far as the history, and that's a big one. Al Capone was there, and his jail cell was much bigger. It was not these teeny weeny solitary ones.
Yeah.
And he was able to have like nice stuff in there. He had like a nice bed. He had like a desk and a writing lamp or whatever. And yeah.
Yeah, it was like furnished, which is very, very strange.
Yes.
But he was the big guy. The big guy on campus, so way to go, Al.
Yeah, good for you, Al.
Wherever you are, Al, congratulations.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to tell you about some absurd, I don't really believe anything that you just told me.
Of course.
But more overtly fake stuff
is
what I'll be talking about in just a minute. But before we do that, we want to remind everybody who's listening right this second that if you're enjoying this show, we'd greatly appreciate it if you would consider spreading the word.
Yes.
Write a post, write a tweet, tell your friends. Anything that you do helps boost the profile of Guide to the Unknown. Mm-hmm. It makes us healthier, happier, and it increases our spread of influence.
Yes, we really appreciate it so much when you do that. So if you think of it, we would love it if you told somebody about Guide to the Unknown.
Mm-hmm. And a great way to do that is by leaving reviews, just like Johnny Blaze 666 did.
Oh, hell yeah.
Saying, love the podcast. First heard Will's work on the Tell 'em Steve Dave Halloween podcast last year. Been a fan of Guide to the Unknown ever since.
Nice. Nice. That's boom. Awesome.
Thank you, Johnny Blaze 666.
Thank you, Johnny Blaze. And thank you to anybody who leaves us a review or does any of the things we just asked people to do, because it's very appreciated.
And just to give a little nudge about the future, I was working with Walt Flanagan and Get 'Em Steve Dave last night on a Halloween show for this year. So we did a lot of recording. Awesome. More to be done. But we got a fun show in the works coming up for Halloween.
Yay!
Oh, and this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Let me tell you a little bit about me. I am driven by a number of things, two of them being depression and anxiety. We've talked about it a little bit on the show before. Every so often I find myself in a low that I just can't escape, or I'm, you know, lying up in bed, driving myself wild, thinking about all these fears, all of these things that, you know, might fall apart, or how the world is still just so uncertain. And I know I'm not alone in that. And you know what has really helped for me? Therapy. Bit by bit, therapy starts to provide you with tools to make your life better, smoother, and to drive yourself a little less wild going forward. And I love the idea of having a professional confidant who you can say exactly what you're thinking about, exactly how you're feeling to. And number one, they will not judge you. And in fact, they have the expertise to be able to help you get through those moments and identify the things that are making you so uncomfortable. Get a break from your thoughts with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/GTTU today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GTTU. You owe it to yourself. All right. And you can also, if you want to support Guide to the Unknown, you like what you're hearing, we've already referenced the Netherworld Dispatch a couple of times.
Yep.
That's because we actually do two podcasts. Mm-hmm. Guide to the Unknown is the one that goes out on public feeds everywhere, but the Netherworld Dispatch is exclusive to patreon.com/GTTUpod.
Yeah.
Patreon has been an awesome platform where we can create basically any kind of show that we want, mm-hmm. and people are able to back the show and get access to that extra podcast.
Yeah.
So find a tier that fits. We're doing the show every single Monday, the Netherworld Dispatch. So if you become a Demon tier member, you're going to get an exclusive episode every single week. But there are other tiers as well. If you need one of the lower tiers, you can get a show every month.
Yeah.
Every couple of weeks.
Yep.
And just to tantalize further, the most recent episode of the Netherworld Dispatch that's out, we called our 2023 movie marathon.
Yeah, we did a whole bunch of different movie reviews / discussions, whatever you want to call it. We talked about The Unbinding.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about Talk to Me and Cobweb. Was Cobweb. There anything else?
The Nun 2.
Oh, right. The Nun 2.
How could you forget The Nun 2? I pretty much did.
I didn't see it. Will told me about it.
Yeah. No, yeah. You forgot you did see it, and it's that forgettable.
William!
We go into each one of those things, which is super fun. Greg and Dana Newkirk.
Yes.
Obviously of Hellier and the Haunted Objects podcast, their recent movie, The Unbinding, which was super, super fun.
Yep.
And then, some things that people have had interest in us talking about for a while now, Talk to Me, which was like a sort of like surprise hit this year.
Yeah.
And Cobweb, which I think is like a sleeper.
It was a surprise hit for me.
A total surprise. Yeah. Like these are some like really out there, fun, scary movies.
Yep.
And we had, I had a really good time talking about all of them. So if you're interested, go check those out. Mm-hmm. That show plus, more than 100 other episodes waiting for you. Patreon.com/GTTUpod.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about some made up stuff.
Let's do it.
So, you know what? Let's stay in the TV show realm.
Okay.
Just for a minute. Okay.
What?
So I also mentioned, we're on this, right? Netherworld Dispatch episode 110 is Ghost Adventures, where we watch an episode of Ghost Adventures and talk about it. This is in Zach Bagan's world. It's season 2, episode 6.
Yeah.
Of Ghost Adventures, where they go to the Eastern State Penitentiary, and I revisited my notes, revisited a little bit of the show to refresh myself, and here
did you find yourself refreshed? Was it a nice, cool dip into a calm pond?
Calm is wrong.
Yeah.
This is early on in Ghost Adventures where Zach is very much trying to abrasively confront evil spirits. So this is here's some of the stuff that, quite frankly, is in episode 110 of the Netherworld Dispatch, but we're on Guide to the Unknown right now.
Yeah.
I think it's worth reading some of these again to revisit the way that Zach Bagans presented himself.
I'm very interested to hear this.
Such a long time. So Zach Bagans goes into Al Capone's cell, and he, now a lot of what he'll do when he goes into a haunted place, he'll go like, "All right, boy." You know how Peter Venkman goes, "That's right, boys, it's Dr. Venkman."
Dr. Venkman.
He does that, or he's like, "I'm the new guard.
Right.
Anyone got a problem with me? I'd love to hear about it." Like, he tries to rile up.
He role plays.
The dead. So he goes into Al Capone's cell and goes, "All right, Alfonso. Whew. I'm taunting Al Capone."
I'm glad you're doing this. I don't remember this at all.
Has an out-of-body experience for a moment. He's like, "Yeah, I just did that," like that kind of energy. "I'm taunting Al Capone. What am I, nuts? How nasty would a spirit be to taunt a tough guy like you?"
So nasty.
And then he hears a sound. He hears some sound somewhere of an unexplained source. He goes, "Is that all you can do? Just make some stupid little noises? Because that's not going to make me scream like a little girl. I'm not going anywhere." And I picture him like laying back on Al Capone's bed with his hands behind his head.
Sounds like it was comfy enough.
I guess. Comfy enough
for Al.
He probably
had a Tempur-Pedic.
Yep. There are plenty of jokes about taking Zach's little stoolie, Aaron, who seems very nice.
I know. I love Aaron.
His persona on the show is as
yes.
the little boy who's friends with Zach almost.
It is, definitely.
And they hear about a guard who was attacked in a shower, I think.
Oh, God, I remember this now. Yeah.
And Zach's like, "All right, Aaron, I think I know where you're going. Like, good luck in the shower."
Sort of like at the mercy of Zach's whims. I believe when we did PhenomenaCon, which is Greg and Dana Newkirk's online con, basically, a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I referred to Aaron as like a Renfield.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Which
and then,
makes
and then people got mad. Yeah, that people we were got, being
people
too
got,
mean.
People got mad at us. Yeah. About talking about Zach Bagans.
People made fun of Bagans all the time in the group for the museum.
We were right.
Yes, we were.
I stand my ground.
I do too, but it was scary, kind of.
But so he basically makes like a bunch of like "don't drop the soap" type jokes to Aaron, which is weird.
It's so weird.
Because
also when you're grounding this and like there were real people here, you know what I mean? Like, and they're ghosts now sort of thing. It's not a cool joke.
No.
Is basically what I'm saying.
No. Yeah. It's one, it's played
out. I would
say
it's also it's just so tired.
How many times have you heard don't drop the soap? Mm-hmm. Whoever said that the first time should be getting residuals.
You're absolutely
off of everyone
right.
using this joke.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. They should be like a king.
Yes. But so at some point, he goes yelling out just into the halls. He goes, "I unlocked all your cells. You know what that means, right? Time to come out and beat up the new guard." "Well, who's the new guard?" "Probably the guy who's carrying this." And I think he's got like a ring of keys or something like that. And nothing happens.
Of course it does.
No phantoms come out to jump him. And no evidence is discovered of any shape or form.
You know, if something did happen, you could knock me over with a feather.
Yeah, yeah. He continues because it never stops.
Yes.
"I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm the guard. See that? You can come on out. I want the strongest guy in here. You can have bragging rights because I'm the new guard." Keeps saying it. Keeps hitting that note. "Are you looking at me?"
It also sounds like he framed it like he's doing something new. He's like, "You know what we're going to do here?" And it's like the same thing you've been doing.
Same thing you do every single week, Mr. Bagans. "You looking at me? Do you have a shank? Here's my neck. Do it." He puts his neck out. "Anybody looking at me in here?" He like peeks into a room. It's like I know I've hit this note a million times, but like every time I read this, it just comes back fresh. It's like there's never been a safer environment to pick a fight than in an empty room.
Yeah, completely. And I've hit this note.
Yeah.
A guy who's like, "Oh, here's my neck, shank me," is extremely
awesome.
Confident that he's not going to get shanked.
Yes, that is somebody who does not believe in ghosts.
No.
Who's like, "Here's my neck. Exposed."
No.
That's it's insane. And then the whole thing ends.
I actually do think he believes in ghosts. I don't think he thinks that they're going to do something physical like that,
Good
though.
Point. All right, fine. I'll give him that at
I
best.
Think he does. Yes, at best. But I don't think he thinks that there is any danger of him being physically...
shanked in the neck. So the whole thing
what
is like...
What a guy. What a show.
What a show. What a showman.
I know.
We got to do a Ghost Adventures adventure soon.
Show. Yeah.
It is. Mm-hmm. The whole thing ends with a whimper.
Uh-huh.
Because they stay overnight, and then when the sun comes up, Zach has to say his like Jerry Springer's final thoughts to like bring it all full circle.
Yeah.
But he goes, "All right, guys, you know, let's not commit any crimes to get locked down in prison for a little while." And they walk off into the sunrise. It's like,
it's amazing.
The roll credits, millionaire.
How does this get like edited? It's so crazy. It's every time. Anytime we watch Ghost Adventures, I'm like never not amazed at his voiceover with like mixed metaphors or mixed tenses.
Yes.
Like, it's just nuts.
It's a mess.
Yeah.
So couple that with a different show who went to the Eastern State Penitentiary, BuzzFeed Unsolved.
Oh, nice.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is, if anybody's not familiar, they take a believer and a skeptic. That's Ryan and Shane, who go to different haunted locations. And Ryan essentially seems like he believes just about everything.
Yeah.
Shane seems like he doesn't believe anything. And so the needle doesn't really move one way or the other necessarily. But it's interesting. A standout scene
and they're
that
funny.
They're funny. Yes, and they're very funny. It's
it's fun.
It's very, it reminds me of us a little bit. Because it's sort of just like having a good time with spooky stuff.
It's like us on location.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the one scene that I thought was really worth talking about is a moment where they use a spirit box.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that we've toyed with a little bit on shows here and there, where it's literally, it sweeps radio stations, and it supposedly, occasionally, like, different stations will line up and you'll hear a word.
Right.
Right? So you might stand in a room while this thing's going like, feet, hat, hat, oh,
talk about being overstimulated, by the way.
Yeah.
That is brutal.
It's just a constant radio static. And they go, "Is there anyone here with us?" And you might hear like, yep.
You're really good at that.
Food. And it's like, "I heard yep."
Yeah.
And like, well, but you also heard a lot of other stuff too.
Right.
And it was just an interesting moment where Ryan thinks he hears all these things. And then Shane is going like, "Who figured this out?"
Uh-huh.
Like, who figured out that sweeping radio state? Like, who's...
Yeah.
Who determined that this is ghost doing this?
Right.
And like they
it's
end
like,
up.
Isn't it like Frank, not Gorshin, Frank something.
Not Gorshin. There's he was the Riddler on Batman 1966.
I know. It's something Frank that ends with an A-N or an I-N, I think. But no, he made something called a Frank's box, which is kind of like the original
spirit box.
And there are a very limited number of them out in the world. And again, I don't know why we're talking about them so much, but anyway, Greg and Dana Newkirk have one of the original ones.
I just can't.
You're enamored. Myself. I am. I'm very taken.
Yes.
Yeah.
But so they're standing in the middle of the Eastern State Penitentiary. It's dark. They can't see anything. And the conversation they're having is about how trustworthy this kind of equipment is and what does it really mean. And I thought that was like, it was a more honest depiction of people trying out ghost hunting and really talking about what it's like to be doing it.
Yeah.
And questioning the kind of evidence that they're supposedly getting. And so for that reason, I just thought it was...
Well, cool.
Far more trustworthy than Zach Bagans.
Yeah.
I did look up places. I wanted to see like an Eastern State Penitentiary movie. Mm. And I feel like there's probably something out there.
Yeah.
But more than that, I found things that were filmed at Eastern State Penitentiary.
Oh, okay.
And that's why I'm going to talk to you for a second about Tina Turner.
I did not expect that, but great.
Neither did I.
Happy to hear it.
I have some interesting information for you. So,
what did Tina do?
Tina Turner shot a music video for her song One of the Living at Eastern State Penitentiary. Now, for the most part, she's just there.
Uh-huh.
But something interesting happens. She's like in like the rubble of like a prison.
Pantsless, I would imagine.
I believe so.
She was always showing her games off.
That's right.
With good reason.
It's for the soundtrack for the movie Mad Max Beyond the Thunderdome.
Okay.
Which was surprising. So it's intercut with footage of Mel Gibson.
Isn't she like in that?
I think so. Yeah. I've never seen it.
I haven't either.
But then someone else appears. A big buff guy with, I'm going to say like soaked in sweat or gleaming with oil.
Okay.
Playing the saxophone.
Oh.
Yes. It's the buff guy from the beginning of The Lost Boys. Do you know what I'm talking
about? I've only seen Lost Boys once.
He's notorious. I guarantee you listeners out there being like, that guy.
Okay.
He is like an icon. He's this huge, like, bodybuilder guy just wailing on a sax. Like, I think that thing started out as a piccolo, but when he was blowing into it, it got all distended and became a saxophone.
Yeah, right. Just the force.
So I did a little research on the guy. Because I was like, is this the guy from The Lost Boys? Uh-huh. So listen to this bit of trivia. His name is Tom Capello.
Okay.
The saxophone player. In 2021, Tim Capello, Tim was featured in the Netflix docuseries Worn Stories, in which he tells about his relationship to his codpiece.
Okay.
First given to him by Tina Turner as a symbol of strength in the face of the ups and downs of the music business.
What?
And the saxophone's regard, or lack thereof, in popular music.
What?
Tina Turner, he like worked with her, I guess, a lot, and then did The Lost Boys and became an icon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Tina Turner gifted him with, I suppose, some sort of like a golden codpiece. And this was a fabled codpiece.
Was this all jokey, do you know?
I have no idea.
Like, was the tone of this almost like, you know, Nicolas Cage talking about swear words or whatever?
That's a great question.
And was Tina also joking? No,
it's
way to know.
It's a codpiece that's a symbol of the strength in the face of the ups and downs.
I wouldn't say
of
it's
the
music
face. Business. It's not the face.
Yeah.
It's the groin.
What?
Anyway, so Tina Turner did a music video.
Cool.
That's really all. That's all that was until I saw the word codpiece.
Fine and by
then,
me.
And then I had stars in my eyes for a moment.
Did we talk about Tina Turner on the show last week? I can't remember if this was actually on the show or if you and I were just talking about it, about how I saw a clip of Tina Turner coming out for Oprah's birthday. It was some big birthday. And it was presented like, oh, yes, Oprah's favorite artist, Tina Turner. And then Oprah didn't know the words to the song playing.
Yeah.
So it was just sort of like, meh,
yeah.
Meh. Like,
meh. Yeah, that rings a bell.
Wayne.
All right.
Garth in Wayne's World.
12 Monkeys. Was filmed there.
Oh, okay.
Brad Pitt, Bruce Willis.
I've never seen it. It looks unpleasant.
A movie called Animal Factory.
Okay.
Directed by Steve Buscemi.
Oh.
Now, you mentioned Steve Buscemi because he does the voice of the audio guided tour. Well, he directed a movie, which, according to Wikipedia, Animal Factory relied heavily on Eastern State in its portrayal of a prison in a state of advanced decaying. But then I found by looking at information about Animal Factory, it was filmed in a completely different place.
Interesting.
So it gets thin until you reread what I just said to you. Animal Factory relied heavily on Eastern State in its portrayal of a prison.
Okay. So it's just inspired by.
That's the flimsiest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
They must have filmed. There must be like an exterior shot. Or something.
Maybe, yeah.
Now talk about...
I wonder what came first, the chicken or the egg, with Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know. Did he love it, and so he made a movie there, and then...
Right.
I don't know.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Transformers Revenge of the Fallen from 2008. having been distracted... This is from IMDb trivia or something.
Okay.
PhillyOnScreen.com. I lied.
Great.
Having been distracted from his college studies by otherworldly duties... Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox's characters race across the river to take shelter in the crumbling Eastern State Penitentiary.
That makes sense because when I worked in Princeton at a salon, Megan Fox and Shia LaBeouf were filming at Princeton University.
Is that right?
Yes, for Transformers.
That's kind of neat. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like a great place to take shelter is in a crumbling building.
Yeah, no, it doesn't seem ideal, but...
It's like already perforated.
Yeah.
You know? It's weird.
Right. No, it is. All right.
Now I want to talk to you about Halloween nights at Eastern State Penitentiary.
Yeah.
I thought this is kind of neat because also it's literally happening right now as we're talking, and I knew that you had gone there.
Yep.
So here's what the experience is like today.
Cool.
All right. So you can get different days cost different amounts.
Uh-huh.
It's nice and cheap if you want to go on a Wednesday.
Sure, like peak hours.
If you go on like a Tuesday, it's only going to cost you $40 to get in.
Yeah.
Easy peasy. Peak days, Friday, Saturday, you're looking at $60 to get in.
Yeah.
Okay? Or if you pony up another $30, $90 gets you the VIP treatment.
Ah.
Oh. It was what the VIP treatment
is. It's like people poking you.
You don't pay extra to get the poke, I assure you. Extras. Admission to the speakeasy at Al Capone's cell.
That's fun.
This is a bar.
Yeah.
And the Bloodline Lounge.
Oh.
Which is another bar.
Oh, okay.
Two bars.
Yeah.
And you get a complimentary drink at each. So Al Capone's lounge is like 1920s fun style, like flappers.
Yeah.
And the Bloodline Lounge is like vampire themed.
That's cool.
Kind of neat.
Yeah. Hope they got a mocktail there for me.
They do. I saw mocktails. Oh, I know. Good. I thought that was pretty responsible.
It's becoming more of a
thing. It is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can get a flashlight tour. This is an add-on. This is not included in your VIP.
Yeah.
Where you can see... you can walk around in the dark and see creepy places like the operating theater inside the prison, which is kind of neat.
That is cool.
And you get to keep the flashlight.
Oh, not nice. Bad.
Yeah. I watched a promo on YouTube. So it's just like performers like getting up to the...
I know. I don't know if you follow them on YouTube. Do you follow Attractions 360?
I don't know.
It's just somebody who goes to like all these different things and films them. And that's what it is. So it's like all Halloween Horror Nights and stuff. And it'll just be like, I don't know, somebody dressed like a scary baby being like...
Like, get camera. Away from me, scary baby. Yeah. I don't want this.
I know.
But it was... I'll be honest, unremarkable. It's exactly what you think it is.
Yeah.
Except somebody had a line.
Uh-huh.
And I think it was improvised. Ready?
Oh, God.
Come on in, but keep your hands to yourselves. You have no idea where we've been, and I assure you, it's pretty gross. It's pretty gross.
It's definitely improvised. It's pretty gross.
It's pretty gross.
I assure you. It ran out of steam. They were doing pretty well.
You have no idea where we've been, and I assure you, it's pretty gross. Where were you? That was so gross. Is it weird?
That's really funny.
How strange is that? There's a...
funny. I assure you, it's pretty gross.
I assure you, it's pretty gross. I took a look at some of the attractions that are there, and there are many.
Yeah.
So they've got like an interactive map on their website, which is easternstate.org. So... It's the hub and spoke thing. So there's the center room and all the various hallways sort of jutting out from it. It almost seems like every single one of those hallways is its own completely encapsulated event or space. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot going on here. I counted 18 different types of experiences you can have if you go.
Mm-hmm.
We're not sponsored. I just think this is kind of neat. And some of them are amusing.
Yeah.
So this first one I wrote down, and this is their terminology.
Mm-hmm.
They're like sales terminology, which is simultaneously like, I get why this would sell you to go, but what does this mean?
Right.
The first one that I wrote down is called Delirium, a 3D haunted house. I'm sick of going to all those 2D haunted houses.
You know what I wonder if it is? One of the things I remember is, something kind of like that, where there were like... kind of hologram things coming out of the walls. And then I did not like this. You walk through one of those tubes that's like spinning around you.
Oh, there's a hologram room like a kaleidoscope room. That sounds like that.
Maybe it is, yeah.
Yeah. So they say, take a mind-altering trip through a murky neon jungle where nothing is...
It was very neon.
Nothing is quite as it seems.
I think it was that.
Oh, and then this is what you said before with the ghillie suits.
Uh-huh.
Menacing camouflaged creatures emerge from their hiding places as the world you thought you knew shrinks away.
It's terrifying. It's
threatening. I bring back the world I thought I knew.
Please, where is it?
Yeah, bring me home.
Where am I?
It's like very violent language.
Yes.
The world you thought you knew. Like, none of these are just phrases like, it's kind of cool and spooky. And you can leave whenever you want.
No, the world you thought you knew shrinks away. That's like existential.
It's like waking up in the Matrix.
Yes.
Like, I'll never be the same again. The speakeasy at Al Capone's vault. VIP Al Capone's cell.
Yeah.
Al Capone's vault would have nothing in it.
Right.
VIP admission only. Prohibition-themed cocktail lounge. Unbundle your nerves at this cozy little hideaway. Grab a drink and get serenaded by our undead lounge singers. One complimentary drink included. This is the kind of thing, like, talk about sensory overload.
Yeah.
I love the idea of there almost being like a safe place to go.
Yeah.
Where you can just sit in a chair in the corner.
Just like pull it together for a minute.
If I'm honest, that's what I always actually want. Like, I don't want to go to Universal Horror Nights and be bombarded.
No.
I want to sit in a corner
right.
and observe it and leave whenever I'm done.
Well, Will, you and I have done in the past and we'll be doing again this year as long as everything works out, a drive-through haunt.
That's true. Now, yes.
We're seated.
Yes.
We are safely sequestered away.
Yep. Yeah. That's speed. That's all right.
Yeah.
That's all right with me.
Mm-hmm.
The crypt, a haunted house, wade through the mist and into the lair of an ancient vampire clan. The creatures that live within require a sacrifice.
Uh-oh.
Watch your step, or the queen and her bloodthirsty minions might mark you as their next offering.
No.
Yes.
Oh.
Okay. How about this? This sounds like an us thing.
Yeah.
S'mores and lore.
Oh, come on.
This is evidently fairly recent as an addition. Campfire ghost stories. After a long day, nothing beats gathering around the fire. Roast some s'mores and listen close. Flickering projections light up the night with terrifying tales, and our cadre of camp counselors share some ghost stories of their own.
That sounds great.
This is just being a fly on the wall while people tell stories and you eat candy?
Yeah.
This is great.
That's awesome.
That one totally rules.
Can I stay here?
Now back to some aggression.
Yeah.
Nightmare. as sleep paralysis sets in, there's no escaping the terrors that lurk in the shadows. Mr. Sandman conjures up a menagerie of frightening personalities, all dead set on trapping you in your worst nightmares forever. Oh, shit.
Oh, great.
Well, that sucks.
Can't wait.
My life's over.
That's so
and then here's the last thing that I want to share with you here. This is from their frequently asked questions. And I thought this was kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a section here. They forbid podcasting and recording like shows when mm-hmm. you're in there, but you can like record video and stuff.
Yeah.
But this was an interesting question on their FAQ. Can I conduct a paranormal investigation? Mm. Paranormal investigations, including the use of mediums and EVP recorders or other pieces of paranormal investigation equipment, are not permitted at Eastern State Penitentiary.
Interesting.
Eastern State does not allow third parties to conduct unauthorized events or sell tickets. Bah, 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 bah. Thank you for your understanding.
Interesting.
But there are like, I feel like there are like two ways to read that.
It's yeah.
Like you may not. Why are you allowed to film?
Right.
But you cannot bring an EMF reader.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, what are they hiding?
That's a good question. That nothing's going on.
There's nothing. Yeah. There's nothing there. The worst thing that's happening is someone is dressed like a 1920s, like a Gomez Adams man, being like, "Razzmatazz, fellow freaks." You know?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. That's all.
Oh my
that's
God.
All it is.
Huh.
And then I like
how disappointing.
I liked this question a lot. Is it scary?
Yes.
That's what I wrote. It says yes.
It is scary.
More or less, it says yes, but...
It sounds scary.
But here, check this out. This is what you were sort of alluding to before. For an even scarier experience, grab a glow necklace on your way into the festival to opt in for true interactivity.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone wearing a glow necklace may be grabbed...
No way.
No physical touch, please.
Get lost.
Razzmatazz guy.
Yeah.
Don't touch me.
No.
Sent into hidden passageways.
Oh.
That I'm into.
Yeah.
That I'm really
cool.
into. Yeah. And even temporarily separated from their group. No.
I would die.
No.
I would just die.
No,
I remember anytime I went to haunted houses. I think it was with our friend Mike a lot. I was just gripping his arm. Like, I just didn't want him to let go of me.
No, don't like it. Don't like that at all.
Yeah.
But I do love the idea that you might have this, like, very singular experience. This is
cool.
The idea that they might be like, you make a left while the other was make a right.
That's neat.
I would want us to stay together as our group all makes a left together or something. But I love the idea of seeing an exclusive channel,
little
exclusive
too.
Passageway.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is like storytelling.
Yeah, that is cool.
I want to see that stuff
for
sure.
There's a side quest.
But don't touch me.
No way.
There's got to be, I don't know what the flag needs to be for don't touch me,
right.
but show me
but
the secret passage.
There. Yeah.
Because I want that.
Yeah, that's neat.
They do say this. Need a breather between scares? Visiting with some faint of heart friends? Halloween Nights also features less intense experiences like historic tours, themed bars, lounges, live performances, and more. I honestly, again, We are not sponsored by that. I know. I just read like the promotional website for a thing, but I really think it seems like it's creatively done. And they also have a whole thing about like where do the proceeds go, and they pay their performers one. They pay like the people who are conducting this, but they also like work on preserving historic spaces. Like it. I was actually like really kind of charmed and impressed by it.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost a museum in a sense.
It's a way of maintaining history.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I love that they sort of have come up with this scalable approach for, like, maybe you want to go and you want to have a relatively cerebral experience, do the walking tour.
Yeah.
They have, like, a big, like, bar graph thing, like classic museum fair where you can learn about history. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to be, you know, the razzmatazz freak, you can go to the scare zones.
Right.
You know, like it's whatever you want to make of it.
Yeah.
Which I think is brilliant.
Totally.
Especially given how much space they have and how it is, the building is designed with all these segmented things.
So why not? Yeah. Take advantage of that and have segmented experiences.
I was pretty impressed. I was pretty impressed and sold on it, to be, to be frank. And to the extent
thank
that like,
thank you for being frank with me about that.
You know, I really wanted to open up and be honest with what I felt about that website.
I appreciate it. And I think all of us do.
I think I would go to it. I don't want to be overstimulated by fear stuff, but I would go to the s'mores and lore and
I would do that stuff
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there you go.
Sweet.
Some of the Eastern State, the poppy ephemera kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, there you have it. Eastern State Penitentiary in a little box for you.
Done.
Thank you so much for listening. We really hope you enjoyed it. As Will said, you can go to patreon.com/GTTUpod to check out our other podcast. Also join our Discord by joining our Patreon. It's really awesome. There's a book club run by Chloe. Thank you so much, Chloe. It's just very cool. So join us over there, please.
Yes, please. Mm-hmm. You can also follow us online. We're at GTTUpod on all social media. Follow us individually as well.
Yep. I'm at Chillin' Kristen.
I'm at The Myth Traveler. You can find links to everything else that we've got on our website. That's gttupod.com/links. And you can get to like our P.O. box.
Yeah.
Our merch, our Amazon store, whole world, a guide all to the unknown above. Stuff. Poke around.
Yeah.
But more than anything, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Hope you had a good time.
Yeah.
We're entering into October. Fun, crazy stuff starts next week as we enter Gametober.
Gametober. So go to our social media. You'll be able to see the Gametober schedule so that you can watch along with us for all these game-themed horror movies we'll be talking about all month.
A whole month of death games.
Yikes.
And smack dab in the middle, basically, our Friday the 13th event, The Demon Drive, 7 p.m. Eastern, youtube.com/@GTTUpod. We're going to be watching a movie together. We're going to be playing some games together that you can play with us.
Yeah.
It's going to be a really good time. So put that sucker on your calendar. That's Friday the 13th, 7 p.m. Eastern, youtube.com/GTTUpod. Gametober.
Yeah.
We may not all survive it.
No.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next week for more spooky old stories. But until that time comes, we must travel.
Back to the netherworld, go we.
I want to play a game.
You sound like a ghost.
And a jigsaw.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.